May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 21. It's a long hymn, but I don't feel I can take any of the verses out, so I'll read verse 1 and we'll commence singing at verse 2. The wondering world inquires to know why I should love my Jesus so. What are his charms, say they, above the objects of a mortal love? Hymn number 21, verse 2.
May the Lord help us to read the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 9, and part of chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, when the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which you offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we plead that thou wouldst graciously and mercifully send thy blessed Spirit down to enable one audibly and others silently to call upon God. O Lord, that we might believe on thy Son. Lord, that we might come and worship him, saying, Lord, help me. O Lord, we do pray, loose the bonds of our sins, that evil sin of unbelief. Open our eyes, Lord, we pray. Oh, we pray this evening for the eye of faith, to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, we plead, Lord, forgive our sins. Thou only knowest the full sum of them. Lord, they are beyond recounting. They are as innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Lord, forgive. Lord, that atonement thus made, Lord Jesus, it is an infinite one. Lord, and this is our only hope. And thy word which saith, all manner of sin and of blasphemy should be forgiven unto men. Oh, may we know it this evening. Lord, we seek broken hearts, contrite spirits. Lord, we pray for true repentance, a turning from our sin in turning unto thee. For there is no other turning from sin but in turning unto thee. Turn us again, O Lord. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Lord, oh, grant us that blessed simplicity which is in Christ. Lord, what a fullness of salvation is in that short text one has just quoted. Lord, grant it. Bless this people. We pray that thou wouldst feed thy sheep and thy lambs. To this end, Lord, do pour in to this poor sinner and grant the opening of a door of utterance, that he may make known the mystery of Christ, preach the unsearchable riches of Christ by the grace of God. Lord, and all do grant thy Spirit. Oh, we do pray, Lord, there may be a real rich blessing upon the word this evening to at least one poor soul, to many if it would please thee, as it was in the house of Cornelius. Each one believed. Lord, thou able, thou art the same God. Nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, thou knowest those that are thine. Make it known to them. Thou said, I will say it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Grant a thankful heart for all thy goodness and mercy to us. Truly, Lord, it is of thy mercy that we are not consumed. Do be merciful still, that we may prove, as we have hitherto, some of us at least, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. O Lord, we pray then, go on to be gracious. We thank thee for thy watchful care over us to this moment. Plagues and deaths around us fly. Till thou dost bid, we cannot die. Oh, prepare us for that day when thou wilt bid, and we must die. Oh, Lord, we pray, may death, by the grace of God, by the blood and righteousness and presence and ministry of Jesus Christ, be a friend to us and not a foe. O Lord, lead us, we pray, in faith to Gethsemane, the judgment hall, and Calvary. Lord, there's no other way of relief for sinners. There's no other hiding place. There's no other antidote of death. We've read, Lord, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Lord, we thank thee in remembrance of all thy former help. This makes our sins especially grievous. For Lord, oh, how basely we have requited thee. After all thy mercy, Lord, after all thy goodness, after all thy deliverances, to forget thee. Lord, worse, to find enmity in our evil hearts against thee, to disobey thee. Lord, oh, to think prayer an irksome thing. Oh, to choose the perishing things of this world above thee, Lord. Oh, forgive. Lord, do pardon. And Lord, we read in thy word the account of the behaviour of thy people in the wilderness. Lord, though thou didst those wondrous things, yet they believed not. And Lord, we're no better. Canst thou, wilt thou yet forgive? Oh, we pray thou wilt. Thou able. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. Oh, we pray for it. Bless those that have come seeking this. Grant it to them. And whatever thy people have come seeking, Lord, seeking thee, in whatever respect they at this present time in their life's pathway of need, oh, do be unto them that very thing. For Lord, thou art all, and in all thy people. Oh, may thy people have the witness that thou dwellest in us by thy Spirit that thou givest them. Oh, we pray for this people. We pray for Zion, Lord. Oh, those that one is connected with. And thy church throughout the earth. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirit. Lord, do help us. Lord, it is almighty help we need. It is complete help. The Lord has promised to do it. Thou said, I'll give you a new heart, a new spirit. I'll take away the heart of stone and give unto you a heart of flesh. Oh, renew a right spirit in us. Create in us a clean heart. Lord, oh, make us truly sincere. Deliver us from our hypocrisy. Empty words. All the vanity, Lord, of the religion of the flesh. The form of godliness which denies the power thereof. Oh, purge us from it. We are beset with it, Lord. Formality. Custom. Service. Lord, oh, do make us real. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be all in all to us. We seek thy blessing in the families. Preserve each one safe, we pray. Guide each one. Lord, save thy people. Bless our young, bless to them thy word, as they are found in thy house and have thy word set before them. Help fathers in reading it and mothers in the home. Lord, do grant, we pray, thy blessing upon it, something abiding, remaining. Lord, do make a right and honourable way for them. Grant them the fiery, cloudy pillar to guide them all their journey. And each of us, Lord, need it. Oh, show us the way wherein we should go and make us willing to go that way by thy presence. Lord, oh, do constrain us. We read about thou didst call thy disciples. Follow me. And they arose and followed thee. Lord, grant that calling. Lord, thy presently dead elect, grant that calling. And that living elect of thine, who have been called, ere they need calling again. Not calling again by grace. That work is never reversed, Lord. But oh, in the experience, in the exercise of faith, in the coming unto Christ. Oh, continually call us, Lord, away from this world which our poor fallen nature finds so attractive. Away from self, Lord, which we, alas, cleave to and hide in. Lord, call us away to go forth unto thee, Lord, without the camp, bearing thy reproach. We plead for the afflicted. Sanctify affliction. By these things may they live. And in all these things, thy ministry to them in it. May they live. Lord, we pray, do grant that submission where affliction must remain. Grant that preparation to die where the affliction is under death. May it not be under death in the fullest sense. Lord, we pray to be prepared. Let our end be everlasting peace, we pray. Bless this church. Bless them, deacons. Oh, bless each member. Grant, Lord, the outpouring of thy Spirit. Grant, Lord, the shedding abroad of the love of Christ. Grant that unity of the Spirit. As the Spirit leads sinners in conviction of sin to Christ and reveals him, oh, what a unity is wrought by thy Spirit. Lord, we pray to be awoken. Awake to righteousness is thy word. Oh, we pray for that awaking. Lord, oh, do grant, we pray, that spiritual liveliness, which is so humble, which is so lowly, which is so Christ exalting, which is so sinner abasing, which so finds Christ precious and esteems all things else but dung and dross. Lord, we pray, loose the tongues, Lord, of thy people. Hast thou not said that thou wouldst make the tongue of the dumb sing? Lord, our deathliness is manifest by our silence. Lord, the lack of savour. We read in thy word of those that feared the Lord. Lord, grant we may fear thee, and that may follow. They spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Lord, oh, we pray for those thoughts. Forgive our vain thoughts. Make us hate them, as the psalmist said he did. Lord, we have a nature which loves them. Oh, forgive this sin. Cleanse us. Forgive all we've asked wrongly. Kindly make up in giving where we fail to ask. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 801. We may not be able to sing this hymn in confidence, but may we be helped to sing it in hope, saying in our souls, here is all my salvation and all my desire. Bless the Lord my soul, and raise a glad and grateful song to my dear Redeemer's praise, for I to him belong. He, my goodness, strength and God, in whom I live and move and am, paid my ransom with his blood. My portion is the Lamb. Hymn 801.
Depending upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The Holy Spirit here by Paul contrasts Christ, this man in this verse, with those that he had been writing of, those priests under Levitical dispensation, who generation after generation, time after time, offered those sacrifices according to the First Testament, which was a shadow of that which was to come. But this man, the one of whom those priests and those lambs and bulls and goats and calves were a picture, but here is the substance. Here is the antitype. Here is God's dearly beloved Son, God manifest in the flesh, so that he can truly be referred to as this man, the man Christ Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the heir of eternal salvation unto all them that believe. This wondrous man, says Joseph Hart, is true Almighty God. He bought our souls. Can we say, my soul? He bought our souls from death and hell. The price, his own heart's blood. But this man, what is the one point in the Holy Spirit speaking of Christ? In glorifying him, in taking of his and showing him, to bring sinners to him, to bless them with a revelation of him. Oh, I think of that hymn to the Holy Ghost. Conduct, bless, guide thy sinner train. To Calvary where the Lamb was slain and with us, there abide. Show us the place where grace abounds. Point out the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. And may we, through faith, feel the effects of Jesus' blood. Oh, what favoured people we should be if we were thus blessed with the Holy Spirit this evening. But this man, verily God, oh, his offering would have been quite insufficient if he were not verily God. But to give himself an offering, to make himself an offering, his Father prepared that body for him. He took into union with himself a sinless, pure, holy, sacred humanity, made in all things like unto his brethren, sin excepted, suffering being tempted, being under the law, sin could be imputed to him by his Father. Being God, he could bear that was imputed. He could sustain the load. Oh, if any of you know anything about a slight, and it is only a slight, at the most do the Lord's people know, a slight conviction of sin, a feeling of a slight burden. Oh, it is a heavy burden, but it is slight compared with what Christ bore. Then you will realize, by the Spirit's making you realize, that no mere man could sustain that load. But all that love which he had, but this man, that love, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. This was a holy offering. Who gave himself for us. That pure, holy Lamb of God, without blemish and without spot. With regard to himself, he is without reproach. Because, my dear friend, never did a word cross his lips that would merit reproach. Nay, deeper, never did a thought cross his mind. My dear friends, since you and I have been in this chapel this evening, what have been our thoughts? In singing. And me in what I have said already. The sin. The reproach then. But he was without reproach. And yet, he bore all the reproach of his people's sin. He said in Psalm 69, reproach hath broken my heart. Slain in the sinner's place. Not one sinner, but thousands of sinners. Slain in their place. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But this man, I would seek, if the Lord help me, now to, as it comes to me, to contrast this man then, not only with those Levitical priests, but with us. You see, we do need a priest. The priest is one who intercedes on behalf of others. Job spoke of a daysman, didn't he? In his soul's experience then, he felt to lack the sweet experience of having such a daysman. One that can lay his hand upon us both. If God makes himself known to you, you will realize that great gulf between you and God. Because he is pure holiness. He cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. That is why Christ suffered. That feeling sense of being forsaken by his Father on Calvary's cross. Because God cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. And when he therefore made his Son sin for his people, and when on that cross the atonement was being made, when the fullness of the sum was being paid, the Father must hide his face from him. But oh, blessed be his name, he prevailed. He prevailed, as we read of it in Psalm 22. He suffered the anguish of receiving no answer for a time. But then he was answered. On what ground? That offering. Oh, the dear Lord Jesus Christ went through, upheld by his Father, went through that period of extreme, to us incomprehensible, suffering and darkness. Oh, what for, my dear friend, to redeem his dear elect, to purchase his bride, oh, to deliver her from going down into the pit. Again, you see before us this evening, this only way of deliverance from going down into the pit. Oh, the Lord impress upon us. If any have come here and as yet you've never had impressed upon you by God the solemnity of having a never-dying soul, the solemnity of being a sinner, the solemnity of what we read, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death the judgment. But then to those that in some measure realize the solemnity of it and tremble and fear and quake. Oh, may the blessed Spirit lead you to this man, but this man. You see, we read in one place, it was necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. The priests of the Levitical dispensation, they must have something to offer. They must have something to offer which was according to the pattern showed to them by God. Now you and I, in approaching to God, we have nothing to offer. But this man. Oh, the sufficiency of the offering he hath. In John 17, he said to his Father, didn't he? I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Oh, that obedience to his Father's command. He evidently speaks it there partially in the way of remembrance of all that he hath done hitherto in obedience to his Father's command. And I believe he also speaks of it in a way of prophecy. For as yet, it was not actually completed, but the certainty of it. As we read in the scriptures, the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, oh, David in Psalm 51 You this evening feel to be without a broken spirit and a contrite heart, you haven't got that to offer. You feel to have nothing but sin. You feel to have no life to offer, no good desires to offer, no good thoughts to offer, no repentance to offer, no faith to offer, no love to offer. But this man sacrifice an offering that is not desire. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. When the Lord said that, he didn't speak against the Old Testament. When he said sacrifice an offering, that is not required. But surely what he spoke of was that Lord, that was not the sufficiency. It was not that that thou didst desire. It was my sacrifice. It was a sacrifice of myself, saith the dear Son of God. That was what thou didst desire. That is the command that thou hast given me. And lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. But this man, oh, the excellence then of this man. That law, sinner, that you and I continually break. You know, we're continual sinners. It isn't just that sometimes we sin. Their very frame is mixed with it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And our own faith is sin. Our own repentance is sin. Our own hopes are sin. Our own understanding is sin. We breathe sin. Our heart beats sin. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, and thy neighbour as thyself. Are there those here this evening and you're convinced? Hear, Lord, my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy Ten Commandments. The enmity in your heart against God, against truth, against his commands, against his word, the love of sin, the unbelief, the hardness, the impenitence, the hard marble of your heart. You can have the account of the death of Christ read to you. You can read it yourself. You can have his sufferings and death preached to you, and your heart remain as hard as stone. Oh, the sin. To have such a lovely one preach to you. To have such loving work set before you. To hear such words of love and yet your heart still be at enmity to him. You say, how do I know it's at enmity to him? Why, isn't that enmity? That chooses something rather than him. Isn't that enmity in your heart that means that when he is set before you, you don't love him? You don't follow him? You don't choose him? But this man. Oh, the beauty of Christ in his person. The beauty of his holiness. Oh, to have our eyes open to see this, that his beauty may be upon us so that we shall admire his beauty, that his beauty may be upon us so that we shall be holy in his holiness. His beauty may be upon us so that we see our own ugliness and the ugliness comparatively of everything else. But this man, for love of whom? A hardened herd, a rebel race that mocked and trampled on his blood. Look how he obeyed his father, even when that command of his father was such a costly command to fulfill. I delight to do thy will, O my God. But this man delighted to do the will of God, delighting in that law. Yea, thy law is within my heart. But this man, oh, he did not come to save sinners who asked him to come. He did not come to die for sinners who were pleading with him to die for them. He came out of faithfulness to his Father, to the everlasting covenant made twixt the eternal three, and he came in love to his people. But this man, the covenant engagement. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That one man in whom the whole church of God is justified and shall glory. That one man who is the source of life, righteousness, peace, pardon, holiness, eternal life. That one sure guide and counsellor. That one refuge. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. There's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. But this man, oh, his faithfulness. His faithfulness. But look at all that this man did and all that he was. He was for his people. Oh, the Father's unspeakable gift to his church. There is the church's very spiritual being in this man. But Christ is all. And in all. In Zion, in the church of God. In this blessed body, there is neither barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. But this man, I think of the words of John in his epistle. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. But oh, as he is the Father's gift to sinners, by the Spirit's preaching of him to sinners, the free gift. Oh, the Father's delight. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Oh, what is the response? When a sinner does hear him, when the Father gives the Holy Spirit in the name of his Son in such a way as that sinner does hear him, he then becomes to them the pearl of great price. He then becomes their only plea. And you see, this is the way in which this priest intercedes for his people. As the Spirit preaches this priest, John Baptist, I thought of his words in driving here today. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And the poor sinner hankers after him. The poor sinner wants him. What is it? They get in their heart some view of the loveliness of this person. But my dear friend, you must be a perishing sinner to see any loveliness in Christ. They shall come which are ready to perish. Why do we not see loveliness in Christ? We're not perishing sinners. Oh, may it never happen to any of us. If it would please Almighty God, may it never happen to any of us. As Balaam solemnly prophesied it would happen to himself. I shall behold him, but not nigh. The day is coming when all men shall see Christ. That blessed, glorious star, that scepter. But not all shall see him nigh. To be brought nigh now. Oh, to be made nigh to him. So nigh that he is in our very heart. So nigh that he is at our side. So nigh that by faith we see him. In our measure as those favoured disciples saw him. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. But this man. You see then. There's a pleading for this intercession. There's a looking for it. There's a waiting upon the Lord to grant his Holy Spirit's witness. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, since this man hath by his one offering put away sins, this man is the plea that the Father loves to hear his children plead. And I want to try and speak of him like this. Try and speak of him in the way he must be known to us, made known to us in our lives. But this man, as the one and only, the whole salvation of a poor sinner. And you see, firstly, to look at it in this way, the Father has required and received everything of him. He hasn't required of his people that they should quicken themselves into life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. How? Through his one offering. But this man. Then poor dead sinner this evening. Hear the Lord's word, but this man. Not you, this man. Not a minister, this man. Verily God, verily man. The man who is God's fellow. But this man. Now if you're blessed with that faith in this man. But what is that? What is this faith in this man? To come to Almighty God pleading with him that he would grant you this man as your high priest. Grant him as your salvation. Grant him as your life. That sinner here this evening, who is a lawbreaker and is brought to justify God for his sentence, brought to own, Lord, thou wouldst be completely just if thou didst send my soul to hell. Thou wouldst be completely just if thou didst cause me to spend the rest of my life here on this earth in spiritual darkness and then enter into the eternal darkness of hell. Why? Because of your sins. But look, God has required of his Son for the sins of his people. God has smitten his Son. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, the sheep shall be scattered. But you say, but my sins are of an aggravated nature, because I know it's not like those out there who have never entered into the house of God, who've never read the word of God. Don't mistake me, my dear friend, that's no excuse to them. But I believe the sins of the Church of God, oh, how solemn they are, because they're against light and knowledge, against the knowledge of the Word of God, against the light, and particularly those sins of a profession and those sins since the Lord has shone upon us. Oh, the grievous nature. What does the Word say of this man? His blood cleanseth from all sin. Maybe there are blasphemers here this evening. Maybe with your lips, in a day of unregeneracy, or since you hope you've been called by grace, or perhaps you're plagued with blasphemies occurring in your thoughts, but this man, all manner of sin and of blasphemy should be forgiven unto men. And Peter had it, didn't he? After denying his Lord with oaths and curses, the Lord turned and looked upon him, and he went out and wept bitterly, a broken-hearted but forgiven sinner. But this man, oh, but you say, my heart is hard. That sin. Sin. Why, the very sin of our nature is hardness against God. Hardness against him, against the truth, against all conviction. But you see, since this one offering has put away sin, it is only that offering that can put away hardness. But you say, I haven't got faith. When he is come, that is the Holy Ghost, he shall convince of sin because they believe not on me. Again, that unbelief is sin. The hymn writer said, of all offences, the worse, because it fights against his love. Oh, what a solemn thing that is. To have an unbelieving heart that fights against God's love. Have you been in this battle today? And instead of trusting in the Lord, you've been like those Israelites recorded in the psalm. After all his wonders and all his words and all his doings, they believed not. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction, the affliction of their unbelief, when he heard their cry. My dear friend, you must come as an unbeliever. You can't come any other way. You must come as a completely lost, ruined sinner, but this man. Blessed be his dear name. God does not require faith of his people. Because he is wise, he is infinitely wise, he knows they have none to give. He's that offering. Oh, how many people will preach and hold the doctrine. It's an erroneous doctrine. It's a doctrine of devils. It's another Christ, not the true Christ. And it all depends on whether a sinner will believe or not. But by grace are you saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But this man, poor sinner sunk in unbelief this evening, the Lord bless you with this, but this man, he had no unbelief. He trusted in God. They said to him when he was on the cross, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him, seeing he trusteth in him. But this man, that poor sinner then, that hears of this one, they will by the Lord be caused to do what everyone in the Gospels did who heard of him. There's a coming to him. There's a coming to him. What a different thing that is, to come into, merely come into chapel, to come to him. Oh, not wanting to come to hear a good sermon, but wanting to come to see Christ. Not coming in feeling to be such a good hearer, such a faithful hearer, such a one full of such strong desires, but come in as a poor undone sinner. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But this man, that faith I spoke of just now that you poor sinner lack, how will God give it you? He will give it you by causing you to hear the words of this man. By the power of the Spirit. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. After he had offered one sacrifice. For sin. You say, yes, but I haven't got anything to bring to this man but sin. Well, I trust I speak reverently, at least I desire to, my dear friend. What a matching by the blessed Spirit of truth if you've got nothing to give this man but sin. Why? If we go to an earthly physician, what a fool we are if we go to them, telling them what our complaint is, telling them what they should do to us or administer to us. If we go with our own perceived wisdom, what do we do? if we go wisely. We go and tell that physician our complaint. We tell us where the pain is, what the other symptoms are. Jesus is a wise physician. He has one remedy for all the woes of every sinner who comes to him. And that's this one offering. If he grant unto you the administering of this remedy, by the giving of the Spirit by which he makes known to you that his blood was shed for you, you're cured, you're healed. Isaiah says, doesn't he, and with his stripes we are healed. One sacrifice for sins. Fools we are, aren't we? We keep trying to get right and then come to him. But the sacrifice was for sins. The high priest is for sinners. Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? They asked his disciples. And when Jesus heard that, he said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But this man, the advocate, the one who is commanded by his Father to open his mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. One sacrifice for sins forever. Now, whatever those sins are tonight, whatever the symptoms of those sins are, here is the one sacrifice for those sins. You see, oh, for this teaching of the Spirit of which the hymn writer speaks, oft as sins my soul assail thee. When you feel that enmity in your heart, when you realise how lacking you are in the fear of the Lord, and therefore lacking in that spiritual conversation I mentioned in prayer, lacking in those thoughts upon his name. Oh, to hear the blessed Spirit say, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down, a finished work. No more sacrifice, because that sacrifice was for all the sins of his people forever. No more sacrifice needed. No. No more sacrifice needed. All those of you that know that real salvation, true salvation, everything to do with salvation needs a sacrifice. But there's only one. There's only one. You know you cannot make the sacrifice. All those of you that hear the word of the Lord and know there's a sacrifice involved. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And you who look at that word, listen to it and feel unable to make that sacrifice, you cannot deny yourself. You cannot take up your cross. You feel to be unable to follow him. But look at the consequences. If there is no following of him, if we do not follow Christ to heaven, we follow the devil to hell. There's no middle way. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. But this sacrifice was for sins. Take that sin, poor sinner, and lay it at his feet. That sin of your inability to forsake all for him. That sin of your love of this world. That sin of your unwillingness to leave all for him. One sacrifice for sins forever sat down on the right hand of God. You see, if the Lord grant unto you the administering of the sacrifice by which you receive the atonement, if he speak one word from his gracious lips, of his blood, of his relationship to you, child of God, the power of the sacrifice is put forth upon you, and then you take up your cross, and then you forsake all, and then you follow him. You'll never get beforehand with Christ. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, the exalted position of him who came and stooped to such immeasurable depths. You know, there's no one that has been so low as Christ. But those whom he must go so low to pick up, they rise with him to the same place. They don't become divine, but they, overcomers through him, sit down with him in his throne, even as he also overcame and he sat with his Father in his throne. Sat down on the right hand of God. There's the overcoming of the great breach between man and God, between the elect of man and God. Those worthless names which did prevail with him to enter there. Now this is true, my dear friend, that if you are favoured by faith to come to this man, and get this man's ministry, and get a kiss from the lips of this man, get a smile from his sacred face, a touch, a word, you are made nigh. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and one day, sinner, you'll be in his immediate presence. Oh. Anyone who is given by the Holy Spirit life and is given by the Holy Spirit any measure of apprehension of God and of themselves will surely under that apprehension feel, how could such an one as I be in the immediate presence of God? But this man, he is able to subdue all things unto himself. He will change the vile bodies of his people so that they are fashioned like unto his glorious bodies. And before he does that, he does it with their souls. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And how is this done? The ministry of this man to their soul is the mystery of godliness. Jesus preached unto the Gentiles, believed on. You know, if you believe on the Son of God, with that blessed measure of faith by which a good hope, a blessed appropriation is made known to you, It has nothing to do with sense and reason. It is, as we read in the 11th chapter, the next chapter, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But oh, what a maul this is upon fleshly religion. What a maul this is upon letter religion. This truth, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, oh, how it makes the Holy Spirit in his revelation of this man such a vital necessity. And those that have a testimony of receiving this man, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Could that woman explain it? No. God says here in this covenant, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. On what ground will they be made his footstool? That one offering. Now, the Lord Jesus said in one place, where I am, there shall also my servant be. And with regard to this expecting, if the Lord by faith comes into your heart, you'll have a spirit of expectation given you. That's the very nature of faith. My soul weigh thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And the Saviour, you know, his expectation in the purity of it, it is only founded upon his finished work. In Isaiah 53 we read, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now may the Lord bless us with the same expectation. Paul says in one place, doesn't he? But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus. Now if you see Jesus in the way Paul speaks of it, by faith, your prayer goes out to him. Your expectation will not be a silent one. Your expectation will find expression. The Lord will give it. Waiting isn't a lazy exercise. True waiting upon God, true expectation. Sometimes it rises, or we might say goes down. Rises by the rising of faith, goes down by the humbling nature of faith. To that Jacob had, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. You say, isn't that presumption? No. Because connected with this man and his offering, connected with his intercession at the right hand of God, sat down at his right hand in heaven, there are promises. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Christ said, he is near that justifieth me. The sinner waits upon God through Christ to justify him. Henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. What are the Saviour's enemies? The same as they were when he was here on earth. He has spoiled principalities and powers, but you see, his enemies are still alive on this earth. And they're very much alive in his people. The old natures of his people. The Saviour's expecting till the old natures of his people will be slain, returned to dust, and raised by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, as pure as he is pure. Those sins in those people, what enemies they are. Oh, the Lord, oh, that the Lord might open our eyes to this, that we might have our eyes upon the Lord as Jehoshaphat did. Ye shall have no need to fight in this battle. You know, the least sin you've got tonight, you've got no power against it at all. One sacrifice for sins. Henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Who knows whether some of those enemies might be made his footstool even this evening. When a poor sinner is brought to him in prayer, supplicates, pleads with him, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, until thou tell thy name to me and say, Christ died for me. Now if he say that, those enemies, your sins, they will be made his footstool. You'll lie there at his feet, a pardoned, loving, broken-hearted, penitent sinner. Because, as the hymn writer beautifully puts in that hymn, you know how it begins? Does Moses lay a guilty charge? And does conscience lay a guilty charge and Moses much condemn? Let Jesus answer. Bring in bills exceeding large. Let Jesus answer them. But then it's that verse that speaks of justice smiling upon mercy and going hand in hand and kissing a weeping child. When justice, beholding the sacrifice, the one offering made, says, of all that I require, and says to mercy, loose him and let him go, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field, I'm sorry friends, God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Graham Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening next week, and a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Let us close with hymn 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Hymn 303. Thank you.
Do pardon all that has been of self. Bless that which is of thee. May it remain. Oh, may we be favoured as yet it was to see yon lovely man and get all our desires fulfilled. Preserve us safe as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.